Our scripture this morning is from the letter of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 to 18. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, and if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Harmony in community. Live in harmony with one another, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In this context, harmony is referring to kind of a peaceful agreement. It signifies unity and consistency and a lack of conflict. This is not just some pipe dream of Paul's that the church should live in harmony. It's actually in the prayer of Jesus found in John 17. Jesus says that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you, meaning the Father, in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. It is the will of Christ that his church should live in unity, in harmony. And that is great news, because when we surrender our will for Christ's will, and we then become empowered to do Christ's will, which means harmony is absolutely possible in the church. Begs the question then, where harmony doesn't exist, is it because it's not wanted? We must ask ourselves, do we really want to be in harmony with these people? Do we want to be in unity in this church? Because you see, harmony has a cost. It requires humility, patience, and love. And the love must be sincere, Paul tells us. We must be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above ourselves. So if I want harmony, I have to give up my elevated opinion of myself. Paul writes, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Now, I like the New Living Translation, which puts it like this. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. When Paul wrote this passage, it was around 57 AD, he was surrounded by Greco-Roman culture dominated by imperial power, idol worship, sexual immorality, and a rigid social hierarchy. So Paul calls the believers to a countercultural lifestyle to avoid conforming to this worldly system. He writes earlier in that chapter at verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that is, learning to think differently. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Does it feel like the same call is on us today as the church to be countercultural? Our society is laden with a me first, my rights, my way, self-focused attitude. And harmony cannot exist in that atmosphere, because everyone is in conflict with each other and in competition to gain their advantage. God's call to harmony begins here in the church with his people. In the same prayer that Jesus speaks about unity, he tells us why it is important. Jesus says, "Then the world will know that you sent me," meaning the Father, "and have loved them even as you have loved me." See, harmony becomes a calling card, an identity of the church that makes us instantly recognizable as believers, as belonging to God. Now, unity is not the same as uniformity. We can have unity and harmony in diversity. The Bible says that the church is like a body, and there are some folks who are ears, and some folks are eyes, and some folks are the mouth, and some folks are hands. But all the folks are necessary and needed. They're diverse and yet come together in harmony. God's way of unity stands different to the culture, because it holds value for each person. Think of the culture we're surrounded by. How much value is put on each person? But in the church, we value each person's gifts and contributions to the whole body. But we also value them as children of God, created as we are in the image of God. Remember, Jesus explained in Matthew 10 the value he holds on people. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows." Because God values us, we ought to value each other in the same way. And this is foundational if we are to have harmony. Now, there have been many world experiences that have caused people to unite. Sometimes nations unite against a common enemy. Sometimes people unite for a common cause. And they're usually time limited, and the differences we have are ignored or tolerated for the sake of the cause. But the root of the church's unity is not political or economic. It's not gender or race or some cause. We are united because we are in Christ. Let me read you this little analogy written by A.W. Tozer in his book, The Pursuit of God. Tozer was an American Christian pastor, author, and magazine editor, and known as a 20th century prophet. He had lots of really good things to say about deep spiritual life. And this is what he wrote. 100 pianos, all tuned to the same fork, are ultimately tuned to each other. They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard. They are tuned to the fork. So 100 worshipers meeting together and everyone looking to Christ, tuned to Christ, as it were, are in heart tuned to each other. Our tuning, our focus, should be on Christ, not on trying to be unified. We are in harmony together and closer together when we focus on Christ. You see, when Christ is our focus, I'll see you as God sees you, and you'll see me as God sees me. This is harmony in its purest form. And God calls us to be that, to be family, to be a body, to be the church. And when we live in harmony because of our tuning to Christ, we will by default follow the will of our Father and have a harmonious church. And as a side attribute, we will also become a beacon of light to a dark world. Now, I do have to admit that I feel like I'm already preaching to the choir on this. My experience here over the last couple of years is that we're a pretty harmonious bunch. And so it seems like we're getting it right.
always agree, but when we do disagree, it's with respect. And we continue to value one another. And that's really what's key. And we support the decisions made by the majority, even if maybe personally we would have done something different. And when others come to this place, they come with their previous church experience. Hopefully, the experience they bring was awesome. But it might not have been. They might have come here or come from a place where there was a lot of conflict and strife and undercurrents. And when they arrive here and see what a harmonious church looks like, what a marvelous thing for them, and what a marvelous thing for us to be able to be that example of showing something better. When they feel and see the authenticity of our love for each other, and they experience this true harmony that we live in, they experience Christ in our midst, our tuning fork. The love must be sincere. And people can tell when it's not. Let me emphasize this by reading a few other translations of that verse. So we heard the New Living already. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. The Message says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. And the Amplified says, love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. And the only way that we can love like that is if the love of Christ is in us. And being tuned to Christ sharpens our ability to love unconditionally. This harmony that we seek is not just for the benefit of the church, although it's lovely to live in that harmony. The harmony is actually for the sake of the community around us. The harmony is for the benefit of those outside looking in. Because the harmony signals the reality of Christ in us, the reality of his transformative power at work in us. Because humans don't usually live in harmony. So when it happens, people notice. And our harmony becomes an open door that invites people in. This call to harmony is an invitation to a better way, to a better way to be together. As we celebrate our harmony, let us also treasure the tuning that was necessary to get here. The more tuned we are to Christ, the more we are drawn together and to Christ. And that changes the atmosphere. When we come into this church, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, oh, it's warm in here. You feel that warmth. But it's not just the temperature. It's the people who gather. Steeped into these pews and into these walls is that warmth of a community who has genuinely loved each other and has genuinely valued each other. And it's created this place to be that exact model that Paul is saying we ought to be. And so kudos to you and to all those who have come before you who have set the tone. And may we continue in that pattern as we set the tones for the days that follow us. Harmony is God's gift. It comes at a cost of humility, patience, and love. So let us continue to pay that cost. Go into the world with sincere love. Hold fast to what is good. Honor one another. Serve with joy, and live in harmony with all. May the God of hope fill you with peace, the Spirit guide you in unity, and the love of Christ dwell richly among you. Go in grace, go in peace, go as one. Amen.